take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man. Well, on the
earth. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, August 25th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. So glad that we've got you here on this beautiful summer day, late summer day here in Potland, Oregon. Farmer's Market is open just across the street. After the show, I'm going to run down and get me some fresh veggies. Looking forward to that. Of course, I've got plenty of fresh vegetables up here in the studio, just none of them that are edible. On today's show, we've got all sorts of great info for you. We're winding down our review of the Seattle Hemp Fest that took place last weekend, the 25th anniversary. And today, we're taking a look at vets. That's right, we're taking a look at veterans and their concerns. And speaking to that will be Michael Kravitz, a longtime friend of the show, and Patrick Seifert with the group 22 Too Many. That means 22 veterans who are estimated to take their lives daily from suicide, and that's probably an underestimate. That's going to be in our activist agenda, their speech from the Seattle Hemp Fest. We'll have that for you at the end of the show. Also coming up on the show today, it is Thursday, and every other Thursday we speak with professional law enforcement from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. That's LEAP, for those of you who are in the acronym biz. LEAP speaker Teresa Smallwood will be joining us. She's a former prosecutor, and we'll find out why she thinks we need to legalize not just marijuana, but all drugs. Coming up in drug war data mining today, we got a new study from the University of Washington taking a look at what influences children to eat certain foods. The idea here being to find out how we can prevent accidental ingestion of marijuana edibles by children, especially in the medical and legal states. Also on the show today, in our Behind the Headlines segment, we are going to tell you about Elvie Musica. She is one of the two remaining federal medical marijuana patients, and we'll have her talk from the stage at Seattle Hemp Fest, where she smoked one of her legal joints, one of her legal federal joints right there on stage, and nobody could do a damn thing about it. Of course, all that comes after the cannabis radio news. In the headlines today, we've got a major bust going on in Northern California on a Vietnamese crime ring that has unearthed a bad cop. We'll tell you all about that. In Little Rock, we've got more challenges to the two different medical marijuana initiatives that are percolating there. A challenge to the one that's already made the ballot. We'll tell you about that lawsuit. Also, Nashville is continuing its progress on its marijuana decriminalization initiative. We'll tell you what's up lately in Nashville. And in my home state of Idaho, we got another one of those stupid Facebook videos that we're going to have to tell you about. And in Los Angeles, California, an LA Times report on the site weedmaps.com offers a whole bunch of questions as to the legitimacy of their dispensary reviews. We'll tell you about that coming up on the Cannabis Radio News. And then in hour two, we'll take you into Toker Talk Radio, talk about the various news of the day, and a look forward to the various events that are taking place as we hit the fall season. We'll also have a bonus, a radical rant in hour two. My open letter to Idaho's drug czar, Elisha Figueroa, in response to her op-ed that appeared in the Idaho Statesman yesterday. I'm coming at her with fact, science, reason, and logic, so I'm not sure she'll understand it. All that's coming up today on the Russ Belville Show. Thank you so much for joining us. And check out my new writing happening on the new website for marijuana news, weednews.co.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and it gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Previously on the Stoner Jesus Show.
St. Peter auditioning to be the Microsoft weed software spokesman.
Hey, this is St. Peter for Microsoft. They track weed. Does that mean they're going to like track the weed? Is that what this is about, Jesus? I'm not going to be tracked, Jesus. I'm not going to have my fucking weed tracked. And I'm not going to have fucking Microsoft track me back to my fucking house through my weed to where they fucking spied on people with that goddamn Xbox camera. Fuck this. Fuck Microsoft. Fuck this bullshit.
The Stoner Jesus Show. Live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I opted for convenience to use my personal email account.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, August 25th, 2016. Los Angeles, California, from smellthetruth.com. The world's leading pot shop review site, Weedmaps, got a near-failing grade Wednesday due to the amount of suspicious reviews on its site, the Los Angeles Times reports. Weedmaps.com is the industry's go-to place to list pot shops and their products, driving potentially thousands and tens of thousands of customers each week. Like Yelp or Amazon, users can leave reviews which can help other users find quality outlets. But the problem is, the Los Angeles Times analyzed 598 businesses and found 70% of pot shops on Weedmaps have suspicious reviews, with multiple reviews coming from the same internet location or IP address. The investigation, quote, suggests a large proportion of glowing remarks came from individual users leaving multiple reviews of a single business, end quote. FakeSpot, a startup dedicated to spotting fake reviews on Amazon and Yelp, found problems with 62% of the reviews on Weedmaps.com, the Times reports. FakeSpot found signs of a fake Weedmaps review program running out of three colleges near Weedmaps headquarters, USC, UC Irvine, and Cal State Long Beach. San Jose, California. A month-long probe into a Northern California Vietnamese crime ring resulted in nearly two dozen arrests, including that of a veteran San Jose police officer accused of leaking confidential information to gang members, authorities said Wednesday. Officer Derek Antonio was placed on paid leave 2 months ago in the middle of the investigation when investigators determined he was sharing sensitive information, including police reports, with gang members, San Jose Police Chief Eddie Garcia told reporters. Authorities arrested 22 other people in the probe named Operation Gang of Thrones, making the arrests and executing search warrants in several places, including San Jose, Anaheim, and in Louisiana. The searches netted $200,000 in cash, 4,000 ecstasy pills, 600 pounds of marijuana, body armor, and an alligator retrieved by San Jose animal control workers after it was found. Louisiana State Police seized more than 400 pounds of the marijuana in transit from San Jose. Little Rock, Arkansas. A group opposing Arkansas medical marijuana asked the state's highest court to block a legalization measure on the ballot, saying the proposal misleads voters about its consequences. Arkansans Against Legalized Marijuana asked the state Supreme Court to prevent the Secretary of State's office from counting or certifying any votes for the proposed initiated act, which was approved last month for the November ballot. Aside from calling the proposal misleading, the complaint claims it, quote, omits material information that is essential for a fair understanding of the act, end quote. The proposal, if approved by voters, would allow patients with qualifying medical conditions and a doctor's recommendation to purchase medical marijuana from dispensaries. Patients who don't live close to dispensaries would be allowed to grow their own marijuana under the proposal. Arkansas voters narrowly rejected a nearly identical medical marijuana proposal by Arkansans for Compassionate Care in 2012, the same group behind the proposed act. The Arkansas Supreme Court rejected a similar lawsuit challenging that measure. Nashville, Tennessee. A proposal to decriminalize marijuana in Nashville faces an important meeting this week to determine its fate. The measure, which passed 32-4 on a first reading, still seems poised to pass. It would reduce the current misdemeanor state offense for possession of less than half an ounce to just a municipal fine of $50 or 10 hours of community service. There would be no criminal record or jail time, whereas state law mandates up to a $2,500 fine and a year in jail. There were almost 13,000 marijuana possession arrests in Nashville since 2015, with over 90% of them involving no separate felony charge. Police are opposed to the bill's language, insisting that an officer shall issue a possession ticket rather than may, arguing this removes police discretion to charge offenders with the stricter state law. Bill proponents are offering amendments to satisfy this objection. Fort Hall Indian Reservation, Idaho. Two women have been arrested and charged with child endangerment over a video of them blowing marijuana smoke into a toddler's face. The video, which was posted on Facebook over the weekend, has since been removed. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, August 25th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points. PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
The political climate is at a fever pitch, and the fight for the social fabric of America is set for battle this November. Tuesday, November 8th, the Cannabis Liberation Movement takes a huge step forward, and Cannabis Radio is here to chronicle this legendary moment. CannabisRadio.com and the Cannabis Radio News team will feature wall-to-wall live coverage of all the coast-to-coast voting of state amendments, ballots, propositions, and initiatives that will further progress the Cannabis Crusade. Join us November 8th for Vote 2016, the path to cannabis freedom, only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we have the interesting story of Elvie Musica, who is one of the two remaining federal medical marijuana patients, a program that was begun back in the late 70s, onto which there were up to 15 patients at any one time, has winnowed down to just two, Elvie and Irv Rosenfeld in Florida. Elvie suffers from glaucoma, and she claims that constant cannabis use has saved what remains of her sight. She is an icon in the Oregon activist community, beloved by all, and appears at nearly every festival and event you can find on the West Coast. This is Elvie at last weekend's 25th anniversary Seattle Hemp Fest.
Congratulations! 25 years of the best gathering of this beautiful family of ours that comes from all over the world. You are hosting a reunion that we would have missed for anything in all possible. I definitely would miss anything. Paul, Mike, and that they won't bring me here. But I thank you all for putting it on. The work must be incredible. I can't even begin to imagine what kind of work it would take to do such an event. But thank you again. Anyhow, 25 years later, what have we been doing this 25 years? We have been changing laws all over the country.
Yes.
I have been receiving this tin filled with 300 joints. That's my allotment for 1 month. It comes from the University of Mississippi. It is Mexican, grown by your tax dollars.
Mohawk and coon.
So, anyway, it's the only thing they'll let you research with. And then they will do crazy things like 37 years in maintaining my sight, put to the point that I was able to go to Europe and on my own. Everything else, but then they sent me some hemp, which I love wearing, but it didn't do anything for my glaucoma, so the work of 37 years went down the drain along with some of my optic nerve. Not a happy camper, but we are going to change all that one. We don't have to count on anyone else's growing our pot. We can do our own. If nothing else, we can learn from Mulu Wai. That's the way it is there now. Yeah, so we are going to be voting on different laws all over this place, and I hope they all say, we are done with your prohibition. Judge Francis L. Young in 1988, the ex-head of DEA, told them that they had to change the laws because it was unreasonable, arbitrary, and capricious to keep medicine from people who were suffering without it, especially when this is the most benign substance known to humanity. This was told to you by Francis L. Young, and the DEA comes back 28 years later telling us the same story that no one believes anymore, that the whole country is trying to change. And they have no respect for us or our vote or anything. They've been given the power to abuse us, to take our stuff away and everything else. And we need to end that nightmare. We need to demand an apology from our legislators and a reversal of this clause from our president right now before he leaves office. Please get on it. We gotta do it. Let that true spirit of love always be your guiding light. And remember that the truth will set you free always. Endure! Oh, I think it's time for me to quit talking and start. It's what I'm going to say, I'm saying. It's a dream for all, I call it.
This is real. It's real crappy.
This real hemp. Well, maybe one little step of it. Now that I'm sending you the high quality. Bye. Bye.
Healthy Musica.
Great stuff from Elvie Musica on stage there.
I spent the last 2 years of high school in a daze.
Great stuff there. Great seeing LV Musica every time we see her. Happy 420 to everybody in the Mountain Time Zone. I'm talking to you, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. We're going to take a break here, enjoy some cannabis, and see if I can get the hard drive to stop stuttering on us. It's always something, isn't it? When we come back, some drug war data mining. You won't want to miss this one.
Next to THC and CBD, you can now add CBR to your cannabis vernacular. CBR as in CannabisRadio.com.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
CannabisRadio.com keeps you in the know Monday through Friday on air and on demand with Cannabis Radio News, presented with the definitive worldwide news source, the Associated Press. Stay informed with exclusive news on all things cannabis. Cannabis Radio News, live weeknights at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, during the Russ Belville Show, or download the daily podcast exclusively on CannabisRadio.com, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. When breaking news happens in the cannabis industry, Cannabis Radio News delivers the details first.
The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com. The National Wildlife Refuge for Marijuana Unicorns.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Researchers at the University of Washington are examining the factors that attract children to certain edible products. In an effort to combat the potential for accidental ingestion of adult marijuana products in the states where they are legal, the University of Washington School of Law's Cannabis Law and Policy Project looked at how shape, color, and taste affect children's interest. Marketing and branding of products were also considered. And generally, kids were more attracted to foods that exhibit the following properties: colors of red, orange, yellow, and green, shapes like stars or animals, as opposed to slices or sticks, and sweet or fruity smells. Sam Mendez, the executive director of the Cannabis Law and Policy Project, said, quote, "Of these factors we looked at, no one factor was clearly indicative of a danger to children. So, if you have a food that's shaped as a bear, that doesn't automatically make it attractive to kids, especially if it smells or tastes bad." End quote. A bad taste is more likely to deter children than the smell alone, according to the report. Researchers and policymakers will be looking to this study as they seek to regulate the fast-growing marijuana industry. The popularity of edible marijuana products took both proponents and opponents by surprise, with the latter seizing on increases in reports of accidental marijuana ingestion by children. Washington State has strict regulations concerning the marketing, packaging, and forms of edible marijuana products.
Products like gummy bears, lollipops, cotton candy, and anything cooked or baked cannot be sold as a marijuana-infused product. All packaging must be opaque and childproof. Colorado has also recently created new restrictions on marijuana-infused edibles, such as banning gummy candies in animal, fruit, or human shapes, and requiring that THC be stamped on all edible marijuana products containing it. In addition to trying to limit the appeal of adult marijuana products to children, lawmakers are limiting the potential damage if a child should eat these products. Both Colorado and Washington have defined a single serving size of marijuana edibles to contain just 10 milligrams of THC, with a total package limit of 10 servings, or 100 milligrams. Oregon currently mandates a 15 milligram serving size limit. However, Oregon's regulators are moving ahead with a recreational dose limit of a mere 5 milligrams of THC, with a package limit of 50 milligrams to begin in October. Oregon's also looking to set a 100 milligram limit for medical consumer edibles, which is likely to incentivize diversion to high-tolerance recreational users who will be unsatisfied with a 50 milligram edible. The report also concludes that advertising and branding influenced the interest of children aged 2 to 11, but once into their teenage years, kids are less swayed by ads. Marketing rules in the three legal states with currently operating retail, as Alaska is still setting their rules, forbid any type of advertising and marketing designed to appeal to minors. Today's industry of marijuana edibles is a far cry from the early days of the medical marijuana world, when unscrupulous edibles manufacturers would rip off the branding of popular food items like Pop-Tarts or Butterfinger for their marijuana-infused versions called Pot-Tarts and Budda-Finger. No responsible manufacturer these days would be allowed to produce this kind of marketing and branding. Now, that's a piece that I've written up for the newest site that I am a part of. I hope you all check it out. It's weednews.co. Weednews.co, not .com, .co. Weednews.co is the new site for the talent from the former talent from theweedblog.com. If you remember the Weed Blog, one of the top trafficked sites in marijuana news and opinion, the guys behind that site have invited me to join them at weednews.co. So from this point forward, all my writing, and if you're hearing me reading something here on the show, it's likely something I wrote. Everything I write will be found on weednews.co, except for my radical rant column, which still appears Tuesdays and Fridays on hightimes.com. Now, I'm always entertained by this subject of the kids and the edibles. You know, oh my God, what about the children? And what amuses me about it is how much regulators, public policy people, have been twisting, trying to find some way to warn the kids that there might be pot in something. Oh, if only we could come up with some sort of symbol. Some sort of symbol that would easily identify something as containing marijuana. Now, they had suggested in Washington State, they suggested Mr. Yuck, the poison control sticker, but then they realized that was a dumb idea because then kids would see parents eating stuff with Mr. Yuck on it and think it's okay. There have been ideas of putting, and this is Colorado's now, the THC warning, where they have to spell the letters THC and an exclamation point on the package and on the food item itself, if it's possible. Oh, if we only just had a symbol that represented marijuana, that even the youngest child would know represents marijuana, so he wouldn't have to come up with something new or try to teach them what the letters THC mean. Gosh, I mean, if only somebody had come up with an iconic symbol for cannabis dating back to the 60s, something simple that even an illiterate person, even a child would understand represents pot. Like an icon, like a picture maybe. A simple symbol that's the universally recognized symbol for marijuana. Gosh, if I could only think of something like that. Maybe that is the way we could solve this problem.
I'll keep working on it, folks. Maybe I've smoked too much to remember.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Keep your cannabis cravings under control. Feed your mind with CannabisRadio.com.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and it gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Get the latest updates on the Russ Belville Show by following Radical Russ on Twitter and liking the Russ Belville Show on Facebook.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalized drugs.
Welcome back, everyone. 32 after the hour, and joining us today for our Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment, we have Teresa Smallwood. She's a former prosecutor from Chicago, Illinois. Teresa, welcome to the show.
Why, thank you, Russ. It's good to be with you.
It's good to have you here, and I see from your bio you had done your work in Chicago, Illinois, and my goodness, we know a lot about Chicago as far as the street violence goes, the gang warfare, and the influence of drugs on both of those subjects. Give us a little of your background and how you came to recognize the drug war was a flawed failure.
Well, certainly. Actually, I did all of my prosecutorial work in North Carolina.
I see.
But it's a very similar venue in terms of how the drug war actually works. I've done most of my social justice and my engagement as it relates to my own theological work here in Chicago. And that, of course, has presented me with a good bit of statistical information. But as a prosecutor, what I came to understand after being in the business for over 4 years was the fact that I was creating a revolving door that was making absolutely no impact on people's lives or on the lives of the community. We kept seeing generation after generation go to prison, come back, and it was the same old cycle. It wasn't until I actually joined the ranks of the criminal defense attorneys that I came to realize that what we really were doing was sending people who were addicted to a place that could not help them. And so I became convinced of the fact that we can do something different. We can do something more responsible, both to our communities, to our precious law enforcement personnel, and to the people who use drugs. We can do a whole lot more humane approach that gives everyone the opportunity to be safe and to operate within the confines of what I believe are real moral principles.
When we first heard of Michelle Alexander and her book, The New Jim Crow, it woke a lot of people up to the racial disparities and how they were intended disparities in drug war policing. Can you give us an idea, you know, as a prosecutor in North Carolina, how you saw the drug war affecting families, particularly black families and particularly black women, as they've been swept up in this drug war as girlfriends and wives and getting conspiracy charges that had nothing to do with them actually using or touching drugs?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier the notion of how generations were really affected. And in one family, Russ, my experience was I sent the grandfather, the father, and then the young son all to prison behind drugs. And what happened was at the point in time the young son was actually arrested, his girlfriend who was pregnant was on the car. And naturally in small town USA, we tend to convict by association, unfortunately. So despite the fact that she had no drugs on her body and could not have been really aware of what was on the car, because she was, you know, just simply not in tune with exactly how sophisticated and complex his particular operation was. But she simply was a part of the scene. She was arrested, put in jail, and actually convicted. And, of course, gave birth to a child while still in prison. So the idea here is that the war on drugs has literally become a war on families. And what we see is that the fallout comes particularly in communities that are disparately treated. Now, I don't mean at all to cast aspersions upon our law enforcement generally. I have worked successfully across the aisle with so many of them, and I have tremendous respect for law enforcement generally. But I can say truthfully that my experience in at least three different locales extensively shows that the system itself has disproportionately affected African Americans and to some degree the Latino population. And so what I began to see when I moved my own investigation into the District of Columbia, my real drug war ending work started there, because at that point the ACLU got involved in helping young pastors to really see what the difference was. And there were two specific zip codes that most of the drug convictions were coming from. And where were they? They were in the city's highest, most densely populated black communities. When we were able to bring the criminalization issue to the forefront and the people voted and they were actually willing to legalize marijuana, it was because preachers stepped up and understood the complex nature of how the war was being dispatched upon that particular community.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Teresa. I also note from your bio that for over a decade now, you've been ordained as a Baptist minister with a PhD in theology, ethics, and human sciences. And one thing that's always concerning to me for years working as a marijuana reform advocate is how much opposition we would find from the black church, particularly, you know, Southern Baptists, for example. And I always felt that that was an example of mistaking the harms of prohibition for the harms of the drugs themselves. Can you give us a little insight on how clergy are coming around on this issue?
Well, you know, I've had the pleasure of working alongside a number of different organizations going after the same issue. And there is at least one group that has national standing now where we have a clergy group of people across the nation, and it's called Clergy for a New Drug Policy. What we are doing is basically waking up the people who claim morality to realize that true morality is a test of our will towards our human kind. And that simply means that preachers are coming to understand that they have to go below the surface to evaluate what's happening and why we need to do something differently. And so I'm very, very happy to be in conversation with that particular organization. I don't run it, and I'm not here today representing them. But I do know that that particular aspect of the work is afoot, and there's a gentleman by the name of Al Sharp who is running a very, very sophisticated opportunity here to just wake people up, people who are in the faith.
Mm. Glad to hear that. We're speaking with Teresa Smallwood. She's a former prosecutor, defense attorney, and Baptist minister who is a speaker for law enforcement against prohibition. They got great speakers all around the United States, Canada, and around the world. If you need someone to come out to your Lions Club, your Elks Club, your Rotary meeting, your PTA meeting, whatever it might be, they've got someone for you. Just visit leap.cc. Now, Teresa, another aspect of this has been very interesting to me. The Black Lives Matter movement has done a phenomenal job of spotlighting the racial nature, the disproportionate nature of police enforcement against Black people. And we found in the states that have legalized marijuana, even though we've legalized, and part of the reason we did so was because of the disproportionate racial impact, but even though we've legalized, we're finding that what crimes still remain are still being racially enforced, more disproportionately against Black and Latino people. So my question is the drug war just a tool that enforces the existing racist system, or is it the cause of the existing racist system?
Well, you know, that is a very probative question, Russ, and I really appreciate it. The deep analysis for me starts with how policy is put in place in this country. If we were to go back in history and look at what caused us to turn our attention towards drugs and why we even call this a war on drugs, we would realize that essentially ghettos and what we call the places in our various communities where there is a high concentration of crime, we would understand that people, human beings, didn't request or create ghettos, but policy created ghettos. And so as a result of that, what we have is a fallout from the root cause, which I believe has an economic component. Now, Michelle Alexander was able to draw this point out very clearly. But what we also know is that in response to anything we think is aberrant or outside the norm, what we have done historically in this country and is really all over the world is to criminalize the thing that we don't really want to put our finger on, or criminalize the thing that we have considered to be outside the norm of our morality.
Mm. Yeah, a morality tale, absolutely. I've brought that up many times before. And it's fascinating to me, too, Teresa, that as we look at the criminal justice system and how it is being reformed, we're finding more prosecutors even who are coming over to our side, people that continually say, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard the revolving door comment from our speakers at Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. And it's just something that is going to have to be addressed lest we continue to suffer these disproportionate impacts. I want to thank Teresa Smallwood for joining us here on the show. She's we've lost our connection with her. You may have heard the little Skype beep there, but we were just about at the end of the interview anyway. My thanks to Teresa Smallwood and all the folks at Law Enforcement Against Prohibition for bringing us these great speakers in our Cops Say Legalize Drugs segment every other Thursday here on the Russ Belville Show. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will hear from Patrick Seifert and Michael Kravitz from Seattle Hemp Fest on the epidemic of veteran suicides.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
From dabs to chivas, sativas to indicas, we roll out a whole concentrate of fresh new content every week. It's like going from the greenhouse to the dispensary, CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dabber, huh? Hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
Previously on the Stoner Jesus Show.
Hello?
Hey, are you the one that put the ad on Craigslist?
It
was in the personal section about, you know, want to have a little good time tonight?
No.
Nothing about, you know, any backdoor action?
No.
A little fifth base? You're not into that?
No, and I suggest you don't fucking call my phone number, you fucking perverted bastard.
Are you sure you're not the one on the Craigslist? You're talking dirty to me. Damn, she hung up.
That was good.
It was funny, though.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
Outstanding rock and funk.
We don't know who this band is, but we love them. My goodness.
The Russ Belville Show, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Today we go back to Seattle Hemp Fest with Patrick Seifert and Michael Kravitz from 22 Too Many.
Right on, thanks for coming out. I get to be the guy who talks about suicide, but it needs to be talked about. My name's Patrick Seifert. I'm the founder of 22 Too Many. I'm a Marine Corps veteran. And I live with PTSD. I find peace in my life from cannabis. That's all I use for my PTSD. And that's what this organization, one of the reasons this organization came together was to steer veterans away from the pharmaceuticals and get them into some holistic therapies and using cannabis. And the current system right now with the VA, that's a broken system. Any system that loses 22 veterans a day to suicide. It's not just combat veterans, it's all across the board. Actually, most of the veterans that are killing themselves are the Vietnam era veterans. So please, if you know a veteran, you have homework tonight, please go home. If you know a veteran, get on the phone and call them and tell them that you love them and they're special and they're important. We got to give these guys and these women a reason to live. That phone call could be the phone call that makes them not put a bullet in their head. Yeah. Okay? So please do that. That's a homework assignment for you. So we have a booth down the way here. You'll see a bunch of 22 signs up above it. We're selling a bunch of our merchandise for 22 Too Many, and all the proceeds go for to help our organization and fight this suicide epidemic. If you are curious about our organization, please get online at 22toomany.org. And it's kind of confusing the way it sounds, but it's the word 20 spelt out, the number 22, and then the word many, M-A-N-Y, at .org. We have a special guest here with us today that luckily was here with us last year for HempFest. 22 Too Many, 2 years ago, put in some hard work up at the Capitol. We were able to ultimately get PTSD added to the list of qualifying conditions for Washington State. So now for the first time in Washington State history, veterans and victims of PTSD can use cannabis because of our hard work. This gentleman, Mike Krawitz, helps PTSD get on the list of qualifying conditions for most of the states that have it now. There's 14 or 15 of them out there, and he had something to do with every one of them. He's an amazing man. And he's also a veteran, and I don't know a bigger veteran advocate for what we're fighting for today. Mike Krawitz.
Thanks, Patrick. Well, HempFest, I'm not sure I can really capture in words what it feels like to be on such comfortable ground. I mean, I just came in, we had some bad flights, and I had, got a really nice hotel room on the tab of the airlines out there in Chicago. That's a plus, but I didn't get in to speak earlier, and that's we're all kind of combining our speaking time. But I am here now, and coming across from Detroit, that's where I flew out of, and then into Chicago, two very different medical marijuana programs, two very different universes, and then come here. And in every way, shape, or form, I really have to hand it to you. It's a beautiful place, a beautiful time to be a cannabis aficionado. Yeah, in Seattle. It's really beautiful. And I compliment you and thank you for the hospitality, and I just share the love. We all love you and really support you. So thanks. So I'm a disabled vet myself. I served in the U.S. Air Force during peacetime. I've seen firsthand how well cannabis can really help patients, not just veterans, really main thing, I think, you know, before we came on, the main point, I think, is this opiate overdose, like, epidemic now, I guess they're calling it. And we've always been proud. The cannabis culture has always been proud of how when we use cannabis, we use less of the damn pharmaceutical industry's pills. That's what we do. So it really wasn't a surprise to us when the science showed that overdose rates drop. Wow. So this is really important stuff. This isn't just having a choice. This isn't just a liberty issue. This isn't even just a human rights issue. It's a matter of life or death. And that's, you know, what it's all about. That's why these guys' work is so important and why we do what we do. But I got to tell you, we've got a lot of work to do. You know, Patrick wanted me to say a few words about access. And even though it's legal, still it's a patchwork quilt of access. And you know, for many patients, it's very difficult to maintain a supply of the right product that works well for you. And it's getting worse, you know, with the implementation of the medical marijuana, I mean, the non-medical marijuana program here in Washington State. It's actually getting worse. So there's a couple homework assignments I'll give you. There you go. Easy ones, actually. But if you have a relationship with your legislator, just give them a call and talk to them. If they're really supportive, it's a great phone call. And then if they're really supportive and you don't really have to argue with them or fight with them, if you do, then you get brownie points for really taking on a challenge, just so you know. But if it's not a challenge, find a challenge. Find a relative in Iowa and make them go speak to a legislator. That's homework assignment number one. Number two, believe it or not, we've now gotten into a whole other layer. You all sitting here, we're being watched by the universe or something, because we're having this incredible wave of impact on the whole world. And China and Russia and Japan and all these other countries, when they go to the UN and they say about the drug war, it doesn't really make sense anymore. The emperor is truly naked. And it's because of what you all are doing right here in Uruguay, and in other places around the world where we've actually embraced reform, even when the world says no, even when the national law says no, we've said yes. That's brave. That's really cool. And that is really having an impact. So keep it up. But here, a little homework assignment. Go to your legislator again, your national legislator this time, and say to him, hey, support Uruguay. Tell the State Department to say cool things about weed. We want President Obama to go up there before he leaves office and pull out some really fine bud from Washington State, kind of like the president of, Evo Morales from Bolivia. He pulls out coca leaves out of his pocket and he says, this is coca leaf. Our people have used it for 1,000 years. We're not going to stop using it. Now, when you make it into cocaine or something like that, we're all about controlling that. But no, you're not going to control the coca leaf. And he pulled it out of his, it was a protest at the UN. We want President Obama to pull cannabis flowers out of his pocket at the United Nations before he leaves office, not afterwards in some small little plenary, I'll be there, but not that, while he's in office, pull out the finest bud he can find. He smoked pot in Hawaii. He's a bigger pothead than I was. They did roof hits. The pot that would collect in the roof of the car, and they try to inhale it. This is our president. Make a stand, man. All right. So tell your senator, tell your national politician to put that word through. Tell your Democratic Party leaders. Do whatever you can. Just make a phone call. It'll probably be a friendly call. You might really be surprised at the fun you have with this. So do some homework, okay? And let's change this. You can have a dramatic impact. A dramatic impact. This is an
individual. Michael Krawitz, one of my good friends in the marijuana movement and one of the most effective activists out there. Make sure you check out the site for 22 Too Many. That's 22 TOOMANY. 22 Too Many. And support our veterans. That's all the time we got for hour one, but we got a whole nother hour coming up in Toker Talk Radio right after the top and this break here. And coming up in hour two, we'll hear from Dr. Sunil Agarwal and his explanation as to how marijuana prohibition is perverting science. We got more music from the Groovin' Higher Orchestra at Seattle Hemp Fest,
a bonus radical rant for Idaho, and an interview with Nurse Heather from Cannabis Radio. For everyone here, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you